Lord, we thank you for this morning. We are grateful for every heart seated here. We ask and receive through the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, revelation in our heart. We ask that clarity by your word is brought to us in your word. We will see that blessed responsibility, that ministry that you've given to us and is available in us in Christ Jesus. We ask that this morning our hearts are enlightened. We will come to a more precise acknowledgement of that assignment that you've given unto us, even in discipleship, in giving and receiving. We will glorify you in our work as we yield to your word. We ask this and receive in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. And then in verse 35, we're looking at Christian discipleship. So it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues," he says, "and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness, and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them," he says, "because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." I hope people are with their Bibles. Nobody should be looking at me. I hope everyone is in their Bibles. Yeah. Ushers, please make sure. Amen. You don't come to church without Bibles. That's the proof that you are born again. It's only non-born again people that come to church without Bibles. It's a training. And like I said, in church, you don't expect scriptures to be projected. Those who project scriptures for you in church, they don't care about your spiritual growth. Are we together? Yeah. There are people who suffered, who died, who were burnt. Entire families were burnt for copies of you over the years. Amen? So honor for the church service. It's good to see you, brother. Honor for the church meeting. Honor for the Christian service. Coming to service with your Bible is actually honor. Amen. Amen. It's actually what? I tell that to your neighbor, say, coming to service with your Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. There's this song by Pastor Chris, right? Right? Wonderful treasure. It's a wonderful treasure. The gift of God without measure. We will travel together. Praise God. So the Bible is a treasure. Is it clear? Is it clear? Many books in the world, but the Bible is a treasure. Alright. So he says that they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that they will send forth laborers into his harvest." Hallelujah. So conclusive thoughts and opening up committing as well is both introductory and conclusive, what I'm doing this morning. So we said that God's laborers are shepherds. Amen. God's laborers are shepherds. They labor through shepherding. I told you that the biblical description of a shepherd is the one who goes after the lost sheep. So every Christian has that responsibility to go after the lost sheep. Today we call it evangelism. Amen? Evangelism. Every Christian has that responsibility. I told you severally that in the church, we don't have an assembly of the called and the not called. You know, sometimes people say, I'm not called into ministry. You know, you can hear people say things like that. I remember a time like that, we're having service like this, and someone just got hungry. They say, why is he teaching like this? Why is mentioning Greek and this? And then the first one that when he said, he said, how do you even put it? He said, his church, he was telling the person we invited, he said, his church, he said, we are coming, not Bible school. So I was like, okay, so what is church? Are we together? What is church? The reason why people like that, you as someone can make such a statement that, oh, is church you invited me to, not a Bible school. The reason why someone can make a statement like that is because the not being able to see that the church of God is actually a Bible school. Are we together? You know, today we have this practice of Bible schools, ministries have Bible schools. Sometimes I get maybe one session, maybe I'm invited to preach, that I'm done teaching, or whenever maybe I encounter someone and then preaching to the person requires me really, really doing an academic work, you know, in evangelism. Sometimes you have to do an academic work. You have to really make the person to see, like Paul was at Berea. Are we together? The Bible actually said Paul was teaching them for 3 Sabbath days. The same people, they will come, he will spend hours with them, they will go back. Then they will show up the following week, he will spend hours with them. After 3 Sabbath days, they now believed. Are we together? Which shows, say, to get people saved is the same thing you say for them to grow up. Sometimes you think, since people are not yet saved, let me just say something to them to get them to believe. After they have now believed, we can be explaining the word to them. No. If you look, you observe that there is really no difference in the content of what was told when they were going to get saved and what was told them afterwards. There is really no difference. Are we together? Many times that approach leaves people confused. Because let them born again, put them some things. So, for spiritual development, they now start hearing things that are contrary. It shouldn't be. The same things we tell them after they are born again is the same things we be born again. Only that before they are saved, it can come to them in a summary fashion. But by the time they are saved, we now have to break it down. Matthew 28. It says to go and make disciples. It means you will consistently teach. But sometimes in evangelism, I meet someone and then don't teach you. And then the person asks, he says, oh, what Bible school did you attend? And I kind of find that question funny. Amen? What Bible school? Because any serious local assembly, people will not need Bible schools. You know, what we call Bible schools today will be shocking to people like Paul and the apostles. What today we call Bible schools, they are going to be shocked. They are, what's Bible school? Work of the churches. But many times, because the churches allow the world to dictate what they do, we already give excuses that, someone say, oh, that can't you observe that this generation is different? This generation is different. It was talking to someone who was explaining. No. You can't really teach people for that long now. He says, this generation is different. He says, the attention span of this generation is very short. I don't know why I say it's a lie. Are we together? It's not true. In fact, this generation is more attentive than every other generation. If the attention span was really, really short, and 40, seasonal movies will not be increasing. Are we together? There is this season, this season, this. Some movies even get to season 10. Are we together? Season 10. 7 or 12 before, but season 10. I said, oh God, what is this? Amen. How will I see 10? That is how. Are we together? Half of my life, people, you know, just spent in entertainment. Have to watch you shoot somebody, and then how they caught you after you shot the person, and then they could not catch you, and some film trick. Are we together? Nothing wrong in watching movies, amen.
I see movies too. Are we together? So I love to check what I want to watch before I watch it, so we don't look away from the screen. You know what I'm talking about. Are we together? Do your reviews, and then I see movies too. Amen. But look at this. That excuse of attention span is not true. Is it clear? People pay attention to what they want to pay attention to. People do. People do. People do. Amen. People pay attention to what they want to give their attention to. So many times, not paying attention to God's word is just because you are a godless person. Are we together? It's just because of that. It's just because you don't love God. You don't love God. You don't love the things of God. You don't love the church of God. You don't love the people of God. Amen. And that's why when you come into a company of God's people, in the right company, you begin to get new desires that aligns with who you are in Christ, which inspire love for the Lord, love for the church. Are we together? So look at this. That attention span, not true. The generation is the same. Man is the same in all the generations. Man is the same. I had to show some people. I think that was on Thursday. Was it on Thursday? Was it Thursday morning or where is the morning? I was with someone. Was it Thursday? It was Friday around midday on Friday. Around 12 on Friday. I have to show the person. They say homosexuality is not a 2021 or 2024 or 2025 issue. I have to show the person. Man is the same in all his generations. There are no new things. Some would make some things possible. Are we there? Are we there? For example, you see a man suddenly wants to become a woman and then goes into medical facilities and begins to have some intakes into the body. Technology begins to change. Yes, that is inspired or assisted with technology. Medical innovations and all of that. Study your hormones and they think they can compromise things in your body. But the truth of the matter is that that desire to do that has always been in the heart of humanity. Is the same. So churches that are giving excuses for people are not doing them well. In local assembly, God's word is properly taught. And many times I told you, when the word of God is being taught, there is a part of teaching that will look very academic. Academic. I mean, it's detailed, it's exhaustive. Your attention is required. Yesterday I was teaching a class. Part of the things I said is that Bible necessarily must task your mind. Are we together? Bible study must task your mind. Because teaching must be done with the mental assimilation of the audience in mind. Any study that does not provoke your thinking, that does not task your thinking, stimulate your thinking, is a joke. Bible study tasks your thinking. 24, around verse 32 to 35, Jesus had left Cleopas and his wife, his friend, believed to be his wife. He says, they said, did not our hearts burn? Are we together? When he talked to us on the way, as he opened the scriptures. Did not our heart burn? Many times, when the Pharisees had come to Jesus to accuse him, to tempt him, the Bible says Jesus will respond many times and says, have you not read? Obviously, you cannot look at the Pharisee and ask him, have you not read? That looks insulting. Because it became a Pharisee, means scholarly in the same material. So why then would Jesus say, have you not read? See that in Matthew 12, have you not read? 19, have you not read? Are we together? Are we together? Have you not read? So the reading there has to do with, did you not observe this when you read? They came to him. He said, for a man, like it, have you not read? Are we together? That he that created them male and female. Have you not read? And he was talking about Genesis, the first book you encounter as a Pharisee that you must master. So when Jesus says, have you not read? He was simply saying, did you not observe this when you read? Are we together? In other words, a reading where you do not observe is a joke. It's a joke. A Bible study going over the Word of God must be to discover facts, truths of God's counsel. It is not done in 20 minutes. It can't be done in 20 minutes. It's not done in 30 minutes. In fact, it's not done in 1 hour. It's not done in 1 hour. That's why today we now teach in series. So we can look at a particular counsel, say, oh, we want to see what is about healing. Then it takes us like maybe 2 months. Because now, we just meet maybe twice a week to look at that subject. So we'll do for an hour or an hour, 30 minutes. Or 2 hours. Then you go, then we'll come back again at another day, and then we continue. Are we together? That way, we're able to help people to assimilate. The truth of the matter is this. God's word must be exhaustively taught. We must embrace that culture of receiving God's word extensively. Do you know how many things comes to you enforcing itself on your mind extensively every day? Conversations, and media. You can be on Instagram for 1 hour and they will not know. I mean, it's until you check the time. So you go on YouTube, then you scroll, you watch this, you watch this. I don't know, one that was some weeks ago. Adult was watching this Coco Melon. I say, ma, I say to the woman, say, Coco Melon le woni. But I mean, is it 17 minutes, 30 minutes? And it's fine. When she explained what she was doing, she was trying to vet through so that she will know what she exposes her kids to. And that's very smart. Are we together? That's very smart. That's very smart. So, but you know about that, people stay online. People stay online. People watch movies, Netflix. So people have premium accounts. That's VIP. Do you have one? Okay. Your yes, I was strong. Are we together? Praise God. There's nothing wrong. Amen. Are we together? You know. So, people pay attention. He'll pay attention to those things. You see movies. Some people go to the cinema. You go to the cinema. Like you're in service this morning. Some people are out to the mall. Palms Mall. That's what they call it. And there are movies that have been scheduled. Why do they schedule movies? They know people will come. The popcorn guy is this morning. He knows people will come. Are we together? Are we together? So look at this. As a Christian, you go to church. What do? We come to receive the word of God. In Christian meetings. I'm talking about our second session today. Receive. Hallelujah. Say my bye. Honor God's word. Hallelujah. So look at this. You don't have a defect of not being able to sit down and receive God's word for long. Hallelujah. Personally, I have a meeting that I attend every year. In that meeting, I sit down for not less than 12 hours to be taught God's word. I'm not teaching, you know, I am seated for 12 hours. Guys, am I right? The whole church hours to be taught God's word. That is how people do well in anything. Those who build muscles, they don't go for 5 minutes. They take time in the gym. Right? Right? Take time in the gym. And your so on is for your triceps. This one is for your side, your shoulder. This one is for your leg, for your back. And then, and he's standing by you there. And because you have paid money to subscribe to the gym, are we together? You will do it. See, this sermon is too long. 40 minutes, what is this saying? What are you hearing? Amen. Amen. See, I don't have the defect. Born again. It is in me to work for a long time. That's it. And it's normal to get bored during teaching. Normal to get bored. I mean, sometimes you're just there. You're just hanging there. But your life is being changed. God's word, exposing your mind to it. 30 minutes. 1 hour pass. 1 hour, 30 minutes. 2 hours pass. As receiving God's word. I'm not even talking about how long I sit sometimes in study. I don't want to talk about that. Personally, I just hang in there. And I'm feeling it. But I just hang in there. Because that, look at this. Jesus in Luke 2 called Bible study the work of God. He says, "Know you not that I ought to be about my Father's business?" What was he doing? He was asking questions, receiving answers. He was being taught. He calls learning the word of God, God's work. Serving God. So, your worshiping God starts from knowing Him. How do you worship someone you don't know for God's sake? Okay, so it's just about activities. 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 No. You have to know the Lord. Are we together? That's why many times we have Christians who burn out. Who burn out. Well, yesterday I saw an information that being a pastor somewhere had gone to marry somebody in the U.S. So I just, what's this? You of Adam and Steve. Are we together? You know, God created Adam and Eve, right? But we have turned it to Adam and Steve. They married another man. I was like, oh God. A pastor somewhere. I almost chuckled. But I had to. I said, why? I said, what's funny? I told myself that. When I saw it, you know, it almost moved me into, because he was now dressed like a girl. He was now dressed like a girl. So, I now have to tell myself, I said, what is funny? What if this was your church? I almost said, no, it will not be my church in the name of Jesus. I mean, pastor. I did not be a church there. But I said, what if this was your church? Would you smile at it? No. So it was serious. So I saw it as a serious issue. But the reason is because many times people are not groomed before they are engaged. I'm not talking about marriage, I mean we work. We're together. We are not interested in your activity amongst us until we are sure that you are here to learn and grow. Not even your money. Nothing. Nothing. We don't want nothing around to grow, to be discipled, to be taught God's word. It's in the midst of the teaching of God's word that the heart of service is developed. That's it. That's why in church, there are many things to do. I said, no. Majority of them just work out.
do this, natural activities in the church. Non-workers, exempt them. See, we are sure you are here for the right reason. Praise God. Praise God. So, a church must not aid worldliness. Church is to grow. So look at this. God's shepherds labor in shepherding. Or the way I put it, I said, God's laborers, are we together? Labors by shepherding. They labor by shepherding. So we said in a local assembly, it is not a gathering of the called and the uncalled. Someone says, oh, I'm not called into the ministry. No. It is rather an assembly of those who are obedient and disobedient. A church. It is not an assembly of called and uncalled. It is rather an assembly of the obedient and disobedient. Because all are called to go after the unsaved. So evangelism is going after the unsaved to disciple them. And that is where evangelism feeds into discipleship. Discipleship begins by evangelism. Is it clear? That word for discipleship would mean, you know, a local church. Or let me say, the place where discipleship takes place is where? In the church. So, a local church of a church or a ministry is to disciple. Discipleship starts through what? Evangelism. Is it clear? Is it clear? Discipleship begins with what? Evangelism. You want to start a church? That is, you want to begin a discipleship work in an environment. That's what it should be. A church. What you are saying, according to the scripture, is, I want to commence the work of discipleship in this locality. If what you mean is different from that, you are joking. Is it? You're joking. If what you mean by I want to start a church is different from I want to start carrying out the work of discipleship from this location, I want to community, this city, this disciple them. Oh, I'm going to the U.S. to start a church. If what you mean is different from I'm going into the U.K. to start the work of discipleship, which is done over a long period of time, you will reach out to an unsaved person, get him saved, and begin to groom him in the Lord till a point where he or she begins to do the same thing you are doing. Is it clear? That is discipleship. So, if what you mean by I want to start a church, I want to start a ministry, is different from that, I'm sorry to say, it is not me, this is God. It is a joke. When he gives a definite instruction, he says, go make disciples. He says that in Matthew, says that to Mark, he says that in Luke, he says that in John, he says that in Acts. So by the time we look at the book of Acts, that was what all of his disciples were engaged in. Is it clear? Does that mean God anybody to do something different today? Well, we have not seen him call anybody to do anything different. Is it clear? Is it clear? And that work of discipling did not start with Jesus.
That has been God's work since Genesis. Are we together? So, since Genesis, into the four Gospels, through the four Gospels, after the four Gospels, into the apostles, is the same work. It can't be different with you. Can't be different with you. Discipleship. The giving of it, and the what? And the receiving. Giving means that you are discipling others. Receiving means that as you are also being what? Disciple. Is it clear, church? We have said all these things in our study so far. I want to start the church is I want to commence the work of discipleship. Discipleship. Are we together? Amen? I said amen. So, and the work of discipleship is not the one that you recall for volunteers. We just have a sort of nonsense around today. Alright. You must focus on your work. Are we together? The call for volunteers. And who are the volunteers? The volunteers are somebody that people that other people have labored and trained. Come on. Praise God. Amen. That labored and trained. Trained, taught, labored. Jesus does not go to an assembly of the trained and taught. He goes to a virgin place. Paul does the same. Peter does the same. Is it clear? Is it clear? Out of training, that will tell you to get somebody saved. That's how to start. I want to build a house now. My house. An engineer to mold me blocks. I said no. So I look for other people's houses. I break it. I bring block to build my home. That's wicked. That's what? Wicked. Are we together? So discipleship is that you will go after the unsaved. That's what we call starting a church. You go after the unsaved. Go after the unsaved. Are we together? It begins with evangelism. What is evangelism? Explaining the gospel. So discipleship is those who have received the gospel through evangelism. And that is our work. Are we together? Everyone, Matthew 28, he says, go into all the world and make disciples. Say, I go into all the world. I make disciples. Say, I go into all the world. Say, I go into the world. Say, as I go into the world, I make disciples. So we said last week that the work of discipleship, amen. So we said it's God's work. Then I made a mention, I'm having a sharp tongue because I don't want to spend time covering. Just sharp tongue. So we spoke about miracles. Are we together? Miracles. We said the work of discipleship must be engaged with a miracle mindset. Right? Thank you. Miracle mindset. We spoke about the miracles of Jesus, and I may also see that the miracles of Jesus were theological in nature. There is a greater purpose, or there was, and obviously there still is, but let me. A greater purpose, behind his miracles. Yes, when Jesus worked miracles, the miracles will meet the needs of people. But there was a greater purpose behind the miracles. That purpose is to get the recipient of the miracle to see God's plan. And that was why many times when he works a miracle, he tells the immediate audience to not tell people. Why? Because what you saw is meant for you. And it wasn't about what you saw, but it was about what I'm trying to communicate to you that made me to show you. So there's no need telling people. Did you see that? Did you see that? So, because why do you work a miracle? Well, the fame still went abroad. Are we together? But you could observe his own attitude to miracles. So he tells the ones who experience the miracle, he says, don't tell anyone. Why? I thought we should zoom a camera and then do a sponsored post on that miracle. I thought we should advertise the miracle on YouTube so that people will know, of God, they're here. Are we together? Miracles are not like that. I told someone last week when I was talking about miracles. I said, when we talk about miracles like this, you think that we don't believe or work miracles. No. Are we together? I told someone last week, I said, you probably don't even believe in miracles as much as I do. By the time I tell you weird stuff, I tell you weird stuff. Weird stuff. You will hear like this, your ear will be doing tingling, tingling, tingling. Out of unbelief. Tingling. When we talk like this, it doesn't mean we don't believe in miracles. We don't believe in miracles as much as I do. I'll tell you some things you tell me is not possible. I'll now be telling you that. You think it's me. Is it me that you should be saying it's not possible? It's not possible. There are miracles though. Are you with me? Are you with me? Miracles deal. They are what?
Miracles.
They are miracles. They are miracles. They are signs. And what? That I told you why they are called. That is a sign. You are the one wondering. Is it clear? Yes. Sign. It's a sign. Then you wonder. The wonder is the response. So if you don't wonder, it's not God's act. Supernatural acts of God. Is it clear? Is it clear? Supernatural what? Acts of God. They are miracles. Glory to God. Miracles. Jaw opening miracles. And we are having miracles. Miracles of health. Miracles of provision. Miracles when points where people come around you to hurt you, then they can't see you again, but you are right there. In the same room like this, and you are there, and you can hear, but they search you, look and clean it, and you didn't hide though. You are there. They even pass through you. You are compelled. They are compelled. Those are miracles. Are we together? Miracles. Miracles. Handkerchief that you used to blow. Ikomu, are we? Is that what you call it? Then you wash it. Then someone comes to collect the handkerchief. takes from you and puts it and it jacks up. Are we together? Don't go and be joining them to be shouting arrange miracles. Are you with me? Is it clear? Let authentic miracles. Are we together? In 2025, hear me clearly. The blessing. Dead years are still what? Popping open. Crippled. Are we together? People crippled by poliomyelitis. Yes! Then here, you'll be hearing sound because bones are straightening. Children born without eyes. This place, I mean, no eyes, oh, everything flat. Then the power of God creates, touches this place, dents it, puts, you know, eyes there, brain, put water inside. Work on the cells, the cone and the rod cells, right? The vitreous, the aqueous. Then work on the interpretation part of it, the nerves. Then eye begins to see. Within few minutes. Are we together, church? Children with deformed hearts. A new heart being given. People are receiving new skins. Are we there? A miracle of tongue brought into the meeting. And tongue grew out and grew. The preacher now had to pray for him that the tongue should go back. Little. So it was like an experiment in the meeting. People were seeing it like this. People just went mad. People just went mad. What is this? He said, go back. Then the tongue will go back small. He said, close your mouth. Okay, open it again. Go back more. And they could see the measurement was entering. That's the power of God. So, are we together? Are easier. Is it clear, church? So, in the work of discipleship, there are miracles. But you see, we must know the reason behind the miracles. The reason for the miracles is to show us the plan of God. The work of God. Yeah, the miracles are theological. They show us things in God's word. Things that are said in God's word. Miracles. So Jesus walked a miracle before them there. As a great catch, he made them to catch a great fish. You see that in Luke 5, Matthew 4. And then he again worked the same miracle in John 9, John 20, we saw. John 21. Hallelujah. So he uses that miracle, we said, to point to them at the work of soul winning. Two things. Number one, are we together? The great catch was to show them that the work of soul winning must always be a great catch. Are we together? I've explained that last week and some weeks ago. Must be a great catch. The work of soul winning. God wants us to have a great catch. That is why he sends out many people. Jeremiah 16:16. He sends out many fishers. Hallelujah. He sends out many fishers. Say, God has sent me. Hallelujah. He sends out many fishers. God has sent you. God has sent you. Many fishers to go and to bring forth people. into his household to rebuild Israel, to fish them. He says, I will send out hunters. He says, they will go to the holes of the rocks, the holes of the mountains, which speaks of places where people are hiding because of defeat, the caves. He says, they will bring them again. They will restore them. Business of restoring the world unto himself. And he has sent you and I. Hallelujah. So we must always look out for a huge harvest. Is it clear? Our mindset, I mentioned this again during the weekend. Our mindset is that of a huge harvest. And when we see any miracle, it's to show us, to point to that harvest. That's what does that last thing. To point to the harvest. So signs and wonders are part of the gospel. Is it clear? To show you that in the work of discipleship, God wants us to have a miracle mindset. He wants us to see that winning a soul is a miracle. So when I go out to preach the gospel, I'm not too casual to think that people will believe the gospel because of my intelligence. No! I trust that people will believe the gospel because I believe. You preach the gospel to someone and they believe, hallelujah, that is a miracle. Glory to God. It's a miracle. So God wants us to have a miracle mindset in the work of evangelism. The miracle mindset of a great catch in the world today. In 2025, He wants us to have a miracle mindset. A miracle mindset. A miracle mindset of a great catch. He wants us to see that the catching of the fish requires miracles. And He wants us to see that He wants us to have a great catch. Is it clear? He wants you to have a great catch. And He wants you to see that even a single catch requires what? Miracles. And we have miracles today. Are we together, church? So I go after. I go after. That means I'm found in evangelism. I go out on evangelism. In outreaches. Where we go on evangelism. Twice a week. We'll go out to win souls. That means myself available. No way to go. I've joined the evangelism. Hallelujah. I've joined the evangelism. I've joined the evangelism. How many people in the church should be on evangelism when we're out? How many? Can I get responses? How many? All should. But I don't know what to say. It's not true. You know how I know it's not true? Are we together? You know how I know it's not true? You know what to say. So, how to say it. But you know exactly what to say. Amen? When you go to the market, you want to buy stuff at the market, they tell you it's 5,000. What do you say? What do you say? You say, I think it was 6,000. Don't worry, I'll give you 7,500. If that's what you say, then don't go on evangelism. You shouldn't be on evangelism. Praise God. In Nigeria, how much is it? 5,000. Just your heart is you are readjusting for the next response. You are preparing for his response. Follow my mom to market. You will go that way, she's going. You go buy one fire. They will price it, you will pity the person that is selling. You pity the person. You pity the person that is selling. Yeah. I just bought it yesterday. When people tell me that, I say, go back there now. It's just in tell something. Something is, I said this is, I bought it $250,000. So why are you here in our store? Go somewhere now. Please, I have money for two. If the person is still selling, let me know. I'll buy a long time with you. Praise God. But look at it. If you price something in the market, you can preach the gospel. Are we together? Conversations with people. That means you can preach the gospel. So don't hide behind, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say. It's not true. What to say. Are we together? Even if they say, Jesus died for you, do you believe? That is also something. But you know, when you join us in evangelism, we can put you through. We'll put you through. How to start a conversation. Remember, I was announcing to someone some time ago. And after the answer, the person was like, you do this. Yeah. I didn't know. How are you able to answer questions? I remember. 2017. You and so maybe some 10, 12 other people. Train them on evangelism. This is the first time they say, wow. Get born again. They say, lay hands on people. Begin to say, this man is powerful. This man is very powerful. And then I began to show them how to get people filled. Praise God. How to get people filled. You know it's beautiful, right? You know it's beautiful. What happens many times is that, and there's nothing that is not challenging. But this is how you know you are not smart. When, because of the challenging part or the challenging times, you lose interest in something that is so beautiful because of the challenge, that's when you know you are not a smart person. There's nothing that is. Are we together? Even eating sometimes is challenging. When you have swallowed something to another part of your body, then my mom will use Abada at your back. Bah. They are coughing down. Changing moment of meeting. Or you want to yourself. You don't buy your tongue before. You have not tried to put food in your mouth before that you just knock your eyes. And you're like, what just happened? That's a challenging moment of eating. Because of that, I say, I will never eat again. Amen. There's nothing that is challenging. Making money is challenging. But when you encounter an issue in business, you don't say, business again. I will never do business again. When hunger, why are you? You open your shop. Praise God. Praise God. Writing exams can be challenging. See? But you see results. A B B B A B, not D E K. Are we together? You see A, you see B, you see B, you say, wow, this is nice. Then you feel like, oh God, I want to write more exams. Are we together? There is no aspect of body that is growing up, that is becoming aware. I mean, knows life comes with challenges. But life is beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to be alive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is it not a beautiful thing to be alive? It's a beautiful thing. beginning. Hey, I don't know. I don't even know. Everything. I don't know. Why me? Why only me? Am I the only one on earth? Why me? You know when? Would you rather die? Is there would you rather what? Would you rather just cry once and for all? just cry for some hours. And chop cake. is it cake now? Is it a car? Just genuine. We feel bad. But will you rather? No. So, be grateful for life. Are we together? With it comes what? Other things. Be grateful for life. I heard of someone who was very ill, and rather than believing God to be healed, became so complacent, complaining, and then complaining will murmur. I know you are ill in your body, and that is not good. Sickness is taken away, and we are really in faith with you, and it's going to be taken away. But look at this. Can you just be glad for a moment that you have something that others will wish they had? And that is life. If you ask the dead person, rather die or be sick and alive, he will tell you, let me be sick and alive. Are we together? He will tell you. He will tell you. He says, I prefer to be healed. And I'm alive. Because when I'm alive, there is hope that I can be healed. Are we together? So we're grateful for life. You know, I told you this. That one of the greatest miracles of Joseph was assistant, the prime minister. No, that wasn't the greatest miracle of his life. The greatest miracle of Joseph's life was not that he was taken out from the prison. I mean, to become a prime minister of the world power, a nation like Egypt, time was a mighty thing. But that wasn't the greatest miracle in Joseph's life. The greatest miracle in the life of Joseph was at the time when they were debating, should we kill him? And let's put him in this, let's sell him. That was the greatest miracle. Many times, the greatest miracles of our lives are periods when we are at our lowest point. Not even the mighty periods of affluence and glory and all. Those are usually not the greatest. For some people, the greatest miracle of their life was that they got healed of a terminal disease. And that now led into many years of accumulative success that now puts them in the limelight and everybody now sees them and praises God. But that wasn't the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle was a tiny victory, or a victory that looks tiny. Are we together? Are we together, church? So look at this. You're grateful for life. You're complaining. So look at it. You're only using it wrongly. It's in the market. If you can discuss football, people talking about football like this, you'll be like, God. They know everything. The players, the club, when the club was born, sorry, when the club was started, they know everything. All the coached the club. Christians, you ask them, who was Paul's disciple? If you ask them, when Judas Iscariot died, who was chosen to replace him? You're looking. But they know all the clothes. And that is when I said, do you know Riyad Bonke? She said, what? Riyad Bonke. You've been born again for how long? You've been a Christian. She's in her mid-20s or maybe late-20s. I said, you don't know Riyad Bonke. Ah. We don't know Riyad Bonke. Jesus Christ. Are we together, church? Are we together? They know everything about football. And they know everything. They know how much each player is taking as salary. They know which one did not take that amount. They have calculated the club that is trying to buy the player. Is it an economic business? They calculate everything. And by then they are discussing, they are arguing, the energy house in their neck. This is best evangelism. It is just an interesting. Ladies, I'm coming for you too. Are we together? It is just. They're talking about a player. You exist. It is beat you. I will beat you. What's your fool me gone? Kevin Mono man, you lano. You were. They don't even know you exist. You see, Omoye. You can preach the gospel. Tell your neighbor, then. Are we together? The same thing. Sisters. Oh, I just fear you. Let me fear them. He knows celebrity, everything. You see, that's a star. You see, no. That's not the wig she was wearing. Price of the wig, everything. You see, have you seen the the foundation on her? That foundation is expensive. $10. You can preach the gospel. Are we together? Some people are so inclined with fashion. If they see your shoe, they know the company that made it. They will tell you everything. They are just so, inclined. Look at this. When it comes to the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can be so inclined. You observe those kind of people, we call them fans, right? Right? We call them fans. They are actually disciples after those things, which is not wrong. But it shows you the energy, the investment of resources, emotions, your intellect, many times your resources, that goes into what you are interested in. So many times, not being able to function around the ministry or the work of God or serving God is not a disability issue. You just are not a godly person. Is it clear? Your desires are just turned off. Your desires are just turned off out of the past. So in the local assembly, we have to breed that godly desire. You can preach the gospel. You can preach. If you're in the market, you can preach the gospel. If you can discuss and preach the gospel. Is it with someone? You can preach the gospel. You can evangelize. You can invite people to church. If you can argue, debate on why your club is better than body, why they should be in church service. Is it clear, church? Say, I can do these things. Hallelujah! How it starts? Discipleship starts with evangelism. I haven't gotten people saved. I now begin to have spiritual oversight over them. I begin to have spiritual oversight over them. I begin to take care of them in the Lord. I begin to God's word. Help them to be in church. I told you already, you don't get people saved and tell them to go. You know, you will cry on last day because you will have no reward and you have gotten many people saved. The work is not saved. The work is disciple people. But getting them saved is the what? The starting point. Is it clear? It's because of touch and go. Touch and go. You get him saved, leave him. That's why we have a lot of religious appearances of churches, crusades, meetings, concerts, yet there is no impact in the environment. Because the work which is grooming, discipleship, is not being done. That's the tedious part. Is it clear? So you don't get people saved and then say, oh, now find or buy a copy of the Bible and find a Bible believing church. Which church will tell you they are not where you believe? See where you are. Are we together? Where you are. Groom the person. There is no other place to ensure that somebody is praying than under your word. There is no place you can put somebody and ensure that the person is receiving the word than under what? Right there in the same company, church, where you are. Ezekiel church. So look at this in Matthew 5. He says, I will make you fishers of men. I'll start closing. He shows you this, that our ministry is supernatural. Emphasize this again. Our ministry is what? A supernatural one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and then in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and then in verse 3. Our ministry is supernatural. 2 Corinthians 10, and then in verse 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not of the flesh. They are not worldly. He says, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So when he says they are not carnal there, Paul is teaching from the Old Testament books. He wants you to look at the warfare of the Old Testament, and then you see swords. You see chariots. You see spears. You see arrows. He says, oh, we are also at war, just like the Old Testament books. We are also at war, but the warfare is not carnal. The weapons of our warfare is not carnal. He says they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So do we have strongholds today? Can I get responses? He says casting down imaginations. Imaginations refers to doctrines, opinions, schools of thoughts. Are we together? He says every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So look at this. It is not about, is this knowledge good or not? It is about the disposition of God to that knowledge. Is it clear? Are we together? He says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having it already in his revenge, all this obedience, when your obedience is free. So the weapons of our warfare. So Paul says, we are at war. So discipleship, supernatural mission. I'll talk about this during the weekend. It's a supernatural mission. It's a supernatural ministry. That means the one who goes into the work of discipleship has a supernatural mindset. I speak from Jeremiah 16 that the work is a sacrificial work. Hallelujah. It's a sacrificial work. Sacrifice. Why is it called sacrifice? Because what you are doing is for the sake of others. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that they will send forth laborers into his harvest. So it is done. It's done for others. So I am doing it to other people's lives. And the reward will come. Is it clear, church? Is it clear? So discipleship is sacrificial in nature. Sacrifice means there will be inconvenient moments. What makes it inconvenient? Because most likely that is not what you feel like doing at that time. But you will yet do it. Is it clear? Why? Because Christ dwells in you. Is it clear? Jesus lives in you to pray. He dwells in you to preach. He dwells in you to provide shepherdhood, leadership to new believers, support to other believers who are on the field of God's mission with you. Are we together? So my labor is in providing oversight to new believers and also providing support to fellow believers with whom I'm on the same field. Become sacrificial. Are we together? It will not always be convenient. So saying, I don't always feel like praying. Thank you. You are just like me. Are we together? And that's normal. I don't always feel like being in church. Well, you are just like me. Are we together? And that's normal. But look at this. The fact that you don't always feel like, don't allow the feeling to overcome you. You understand, I have a responsibility. I have a commitment. I was telling someone, I said, why didn't you show up in service? He said, at first, I thought I was going to be late, but I went somewhere. I thought I was just going to be late. That's why I didn't say I would not be around. And they're giving excuses. And I didn't make the excuses. It's fine. But the reason why you didn't inform that you were going to be out of service is because you were not responsible. Now, I wasn't insulting. And I was very clear. I wasn't insulting. Because I now made her to see, as if, let's say the mics will not work without your presence, and you knew you would come late, what do you think you would do? He said, I would drop a message. Okay, so you drop a message so that we can arrange how somebody else can take your bad responsibility. He said, yes. Or, what if the venue will not be open without you? What would you do? Say, I will find a way around it. Probably I will lodge in the issue. So I will inform. Maybe I'll send a text message or I'll drop a WhatsApp message. So you will inform us. So the reason why you didn't show up and you didn't inform us was because there is no task that the meeting relies on your shoulders. He said yes. That is what I mean by responsibility. So you were not responsible for something. That is why. Are we together? So many times, the reason for excuses, the reason why you gave in to that feeling was because there is no responsibility on you, or you did not respond to the responsibility. Are we together? No responsibility or irresponsibility. Now, continue in no responsibility, I will not even have what? Any responsibility. You're not going to be useful. So I don't give excuses. Someone say, I don't give excuses. I produce results. I don't give excuses. Are we together? Discipleship is sacrificial. It starts with getting someone saved. It's sacrificial. Getting people saved. Are we together? The waters, and they were not able to catch anything. There are times when you go out and you are not able to get someone saved. But tomorrow again, you what? You go at another time. You go. Discipleship is that you reach out to the lost. Who will reach them? We have that work in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So helping them to grow is also sacrificial. Having them in service, sometimes even to service, can also be sacrificial. Peace. Because when you come to service, you also come to hear God's word. You come to add to your life. and to be equipped with what you can add to the lives of other people. So it's also sacrificial. Glory to God forevermore. I say glory to God forevermore. Type. Or as a shepherd rather, the sheep of God fills my mind. It fills my mind. Whose spiritual health and welfare concerns you. Pray your consent. If you see a non-praying Christian, you should be concerned. You should be concerned. That is a sheep without shepherd. Don't join non-praying Christian. But that Christian that is not getting God's word. When you see a Christian or Christians in a place, they are not getting God's word and they are bound. That is an harvest. You see unbelievers, people who have not believed the gospel, in a place and they are bound. That is God's harvest. When you see people who are sick, you should be concerned. Ministry of God's power to them. You are bothered. Glory to God forevermore. The Bible says when Jesus saw them, he says he was moved with what? With compassion. Move with compassion. Move with compassion. When people have no direction for their lives, they have troubled homes, troubled lives, troubled emotions. Some people have gone through experiences in their lives. And those experiences maybe have even formed a perception. Life in their mind. It's the way this person is thinking. This person ain't going to serve God. He should be concerned. Sometimes when I get talking to people, sometimes I get on phone talking to people, and by the time I'm in the conversation, and I hear all they have to say, the first thing that just comes to my mind is, I say, please, what church do you attend? Because this is the office of your pastor. And sometimes I find out they don't have churches. I can't help them. Jesus cannot help them. He gave you churches. He gave pastors. He put his grace on them. In the church, there is a supernatural family. The plan and the purposes of God are being taught there. Are we together? Are we together? That's church. That's church. I remember a woman that Kenneth Hagin spoke about. She had had issues. I think she was actually having an issue with a demon. She was possessed with a demon afflicting her. The devil was afflicting her. And then Kenneth Hagin said that, if I remember very well, that, you know, she got on the healing line. Before she got close to him, he said, the Lord has showed her 100% of everything happening to her. Kenneth Hagin ministered a lot in revelational gifts. A lot. He said he had seen virtually everything. I think I read this around 2013 or so, if I remember well. That was happening to her. And the Lord had given him wisdom to solve that issue. But see, as the woman got closer to the healing line, he said, as he was about to minister to her next, he said, the Lord told her, don't minister to her. He said he was shocked. He said he was shocked. He inquired, he said, you know, at that moment, he was like, am I really hearing God? Am I really hearing God? It's the same Lord. He says, don't minister to her. What's this? So, she let her go. He let her go, rather. And then later on after the service, there was also this counseling session where people would come to meet her. So, he said the woman was seated there at the counseling session. That was the second time. And then, he said, but the woman comes into the counseling session. He said, the Lord told him, he says, I said, don't see her. He knew what was going on with her. He knew he had wisdom to resolve it. So he said, why did you show me? He said, I showed you just so you know what is happening to her. I showed you just so you know. But I don't want you to talk to her. Then he said, he asked the Lord, he says, so what does she do? He sent her to her pastor. Yeah, she should go to her pastor. Then he said, he asked the Lord, he said, what if she doesn't have a pastor? The response was shocking. Kennedy said, the Lord told him that that is her business. I'm serious. Now, if you know Kennedy, you know I don't usually talk like this about people's experiences. Because experiences many times might not be God's word. If I talk about Kennedy, take it. Are we together? He said, the Lord told him, he says, he asked, he says, what if she doesn't have a pastor? He says, that is her business. That's her business. Because he gave pastors to everybody. Are we together? You know, many times what some Christians do is that they reject the man God sent them in search for a man that they want. That's what they do. But the one you got for yourself is not able to pastor you. Tell me who God sends to you. You can only receive them. You don't determine. So God will send them Samuel. They said, no. A king like other kings. Okay. They went into idol worship. All of them. Together. Are we together? All of them. Went into idol worship. So look at this. We take care of them. Use your mind. People's spiritual health. You are bothered about them. You pray for them. You know, praying for people is sacrifice, right? Praise God. Praying for people is sacrifice, right? What else do? We learn the word for ourselves and also for others. Some of you don't know that you are also meant to learn God's word for others. That's not in services because there is no responsibility. If there are people that rely on you to know the Lord, you will take notes. You take notes. You will pray. You show up with Bible in your church when you go for services. You fellowship with the saints. You receive. You are feeling bored. You hang in there. You know we also fast for them, right? So give towards reaching out to them. So look at this. That. Glory to God. I want to close. That sacrifice is how we know shepherds. Jesus says in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. In Luke chapter 9, we see Jesus teaching his disciples on sacrifice. Luke 9, the first one says, Lord, I will follow you. He says, bears have men. But the Son of Man have not where to put his head. Right? He teaches sacrifice to that young boy. Master, I will follow you. He responds, shows him, following me is what? Sacrificial. Praise God. I told you, period of people that present to you an alternate Christianity position. They make their services accommodate worldliness. They don't make you uncomfortable with worldliness in their service. They don't make you uncomfortable with not serving the Lord or taking responsibility in their services. There are places like that that they just want everyone. Say, someone told me, he says, you know, we just want a place where everybody can get along. That is not church. So you create a club in the name of Jesus. That is not church. That is not church. In the church, people are taught, people are fed, people are helped to see when they are wrong, and they are shown what they should do rightly. We then rally around them and stay behind them to help them to do the right thing. The church becomes that supernatural family and a covering for people, a spiritual fortress as it were. They make you not to be vulnerable to the world. The church provides leadership. When you err, you are rebuked in the church. When you are worldly, you are retrained in the church. The church also holds you accountable so that you can be exemplary of a Christian. So you can be a Christian in your workplace, a Christian in school, in your academics, in school, in campus, a Christian among your peers. That is church. We don't create services. We don't services like clubs where everything is rosy, everything is attractive. No. We don't curate, you know, our sermons in such a way that, you know, we don't want people to be offended. Let's just tell them, you know, nice things. God is with you. He likes you the way you are. He likes you the way you are. There is no text that says God likes you the way you are. No Bible text. Are we together? That is why he says, disciple them. Do you get it? Do you get it? So, let's just make people comfortable, you know. We just want people to be happy. We just. If in every service you are always happy, something is wrong. There are times when the word of God will come to you and you don't feel good. Are we together? The joy that we are talking about. Are you with me? The joy that you deliberately express the joy. Consistent state that you are in Christ. You deliberately. That means when you are being rebuked and corrected, you receive the rebuke also with what? With joy. It does not mean that sweet will make you to be happy. Happy like Coco Melo. Not church. Is it clear? Church is an assignment ground. Are we together? A ground of what? Assignment. God's assignment. Ezekiel church. So we reach out. It's sacrifice. So in the training of Jesus, Luke 9, you see Jesus trained his disciples in sacrifice. The Luke 9 account was to show us the training module of Jesus. How he trained his disciples. Look at that text. I'll close on it. Quickly. Luke 9, everyone. Are we together, church? Luke chapter 9. We are fishermen. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 9. Look at what it says. Verse what now? Look at verse 56. Luke 9:56. He says, he turned, verse 55, rebuked them, you don't know what man of spirit you are, but Son of Man is not come to destroy man's life, but to save. He goes to another village. Someone say to save. Someone say to save. Can I get response? Someone say to save. The Son of Man is not come to what? Ruin lives. Don't destroy people's life by being comfortable with their worldliness. It's not for that. He says to save. They went to another village to do what? To disciple people, to save. Now look at verse 57, everyone. And it came to pass, can we read it together once ago? It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now look at this. Look at this. I want you to sit down. I want you to get into the text as though you are experiencing it. He says, they went to another village as they went in the way. Now, when he says they went in the way, he did not mean as they were on the road to. No. It means this is what happened in the places where he went to. Are we together? In the midst, as they were on the mission. He says, a certain man said, Lord, I follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, why does he call him Lord? I can't really say much from the text today because of time. Why did he call him Lord? Lord is an acknowledgement of a discipler. The word Lord, now, obviously he was not calling Jesus Lord here because Jesus is the Son of God or is King or God. No. The use of the word Lord here is as they use it in their word to describe somebody you want to follow. It's the word master. Kurios in the Greek. It's the word master. It's used for somebody who trains you in an apprenticeship. So he sees Jesus as somebody who can disciple him. In other words, this man knew exactly what he was asking of. That is, he knew that what he was requesting was regarding the work of the ministry. He was so clear. He saw what Jesus does. He knew his area of specialization. Let me put it that way. He couldn't have misconstrued his identity for maybe a doctor. He says, let me follow you. Maybe I will let... No. He knew this guy was a minister of the gospel. He knew this was a preacher. This is a servant of God. He knew Jesus was a discipler, one who trains people. Are we together? Like they also had other masters at that time. So he knew exactly what Jesus was doing. So he was deliberately, intentionally saying, I want to follow you. 58. Can we take it together? And Jesus said unto him, foxes have what? Holes. Birds of the air have what? Nest. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Sacrifice. Someone say sacrifice. Can we take verse 59? And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. In other words, let me attend to my family needs. Are we together? Look at the next thing he says. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. Someone say, God does not force you. What about this? Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the what? The kingdom of God. God can compel you to do something for him. Is it clear? Yeah, that in our church, we don't force people to pray. Jesus wants you to make people pray. He says, disciple them. That means make them do it. Make them pray. Many times, the clause of worthiness in our minds does not make us to really know what our true desires are. As you get involved in the ministry, then you begin to say, wow, this. I like the fact that it makes me pray. I like the fact that you make me pray. I like the fact that I'm now living for God. Sometimes you have to jumpstart people that way. You know, a car that does not want to start, you jumpstart it. Are we together? Sometimes you have to jumpstart it. That is discipleship. You jumpstart it. You help people to discover their passions in Christ. You help people to discover spiritual growth, to discover their ministry, to actually see that of a truth, God's call is upon their lives. And they aren't going to get started on their own. They couldn't do it on their own already. Is why God sends you to them. Now you are around them and you are allowing excuses. You get them into the church service. You get them into the prayer meetings. Are we together? You help them in that preliminary state. Come over to church service. Let's be a camp meeting. No. You can't do camp meeting that way. Camp meetings like this. Get into the service. And then after a while, many times, they will now be grateful that you did not let them to wallow back in their nose. They will now be grateful that you did not allow them to stay back. They will be grateful that you said no. Give excuses. You move them forward. Are we together? Look at it. That's why we say, making your life count. He declared, church. That's what we mean. So look at this. He says, let there then, but go down, preach the kingdom of God. 61. Another said, also, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, can we take 62 together once you go? No man. Having put forth his hand to the plough and looking back, his feet for the kingdom. Are we together? Now, again, sacrifice. Now, why do we have these three accounts recorded by Luke? Luke is very particular in his account of Jesus. I won't go into that again now. But Luke wrote this account to show us what was contained in Jesus' training model. In other words, this is how Jesus trained his disciples. That's what Luke is showing us. That this is how he trained his disciples. So, ministry is with the training of sacrifice. If it is not inconvenience, it might not be of God. Declare, church. He comes into the flesh. That is not convenient. He goes to the cross. That is not convenient. He comes and stays in a sinner's womb. That is not convenient. He had to be taught like a man child, as though he was not God. That is not convenient. Are we together? So how do I make progress in the faith? By doing the inconvenient thing. Look. Sacrifice. So Jesus obviously was not saying to abandon your family. No. He rather teaches sacrifice. Now what do I mean by sacrifice? The sacrifice of prioritizing. Prioritize. Luke 9, right? Let me read the next chapter, Luke 10. He said, oh, that shows you that he called many. A lot of people gave excuses and fell behind. Those who went through his training modules were the 70 which he now sent. So he didn't start out looking for 70. It was because it is 70 that were obedient. So the Luke 10:70, it was now the 70 he gave power to. You see that? Right? To cast out devils, right? Right? To cast out devils. Power over the works of Satan. It is the 70 he now told that their names are written in heaven. Are we together? 70. He now said, rejoice, because you are written in heaven. Ezekiel, church. So, priority. Discipleship is priority. I'll close here. Are we together? Discipleship is what? Priority. Priority. Look at Mark 10:45, everyone. Mark 10:45. Discipleship is priority. A major requirement in a shepherd is priority. 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 Mark 10:45. Can we all read together? Mark's Gospel, chapter 10 and 45. Are we all there? Chapter 10. Are we all there? Mark's Gospel, chapter 10 and 45. Can we take it together? He says, for the Son of Man came not to what? To be ministered unto, but to what? To minister. And to give his life a ransom for all. Are we together? For many. Someone say, sacrifice. Someone say, sacrifice. Hallelujah. So, the work of discipleship teaches sacrifice. Priority. I prioritize others. I prioritize God's word. I prioritize God's plan. It does not mean that you abandon the natural. It simply means you put the kingdom first.
Are we together? Are we together? I don't abandon the natural. I put the Christian first. Everybody, play for miracles. That is marks out a true shepherd. He puts other people what? First. Is it clear? John 10:11. So the work of the authority is what?
Priority. Priority.
If you do not prioritize discipleship, you are not a disciple of Christ. Don't call yourself a Christian if you don't prioritize discipleship. Don't call yourself a Christian. You know, today, when someone is born again, we say everybody is a Christian. And that's fine, we understand. But really, really, who is a Christian? Who is a Christian? The Bible description of a Christian is somebody who suffers for Christ. That is why Peter said, if any of you suffer as a Christian, in Acts 11:26, people who identified with Christ in their activities, in their choices, in their decisions, they identify with Christ. So Christians are those who put the mission of Christ first. Is it clear? And it's not because you don't have anything else you are doing. No. It is rather because you prioritize and you have found a purpose in the ministry of Christ. So the true test of discipleship is that we have other legitimate things to do. That is the true test of a disciple. The true test of a disciple is that I have other legitimate things to do. But despite the legitimate things, are we together? I will prioritize the ministry, the work of God, the church. What legitimate things? I have a business to attend to. I have a job to attend to. It's legitimate. Oh, I have a career to build. It's legitimate. I have a family to take care of. I have kids to care for. I have a spouse to attend to. Oh, it's legitimate. I have parents to tend to. Oh, it's legitimate. Don't say, oh, my family is depending on me. I am the breadwinner of my family. Those are legitimate things. Those are legitimate things. But that is the true test of discipleship. Not that you now abandon those things. No. Because many times, your growth and development in the faith is also observed in those areas. But the test of ministry, the test of the call, the test of obedience, the test of discipleship is that you always put the kingdom of God what? First. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? So where is our focus, church? Our focus is in the dark places. Our focus is the people who have not heard about Jesus. I heard Reverend Isaac Omolen shared a particular scenario of his ministry in some interior parts of Kwara State. This same state. He said he had gone to preach to get people saved. It was a mission because he's a missionary. So he goes into the interior parts of Kwara State. He said there was a time that they encountered a particular woman around the marketplace, if I get the story right. Around the marketplace. He said they went to the woman and they told him, they said, do you know Jesus? He says, do you know Jesus? That is, have you heard Jesus? The one who preached also to him. He says, in Yoruba, he says, Shotimo Jesu. Which is a good way to start evangelism. I told you there are many ways to start evangelism. Jesus. Then look at what she did. What she does was shocking. She said, immediately she got up and went to the next person by her and asked her, Shoni Jesu. And then
I don't know what response she got from the person. But she goes to the next person and says, Shoni. And then went to the next one, Shoni Jesu. So after some minutes, she now came back to them and said, Moni Kosi. She thought Jesus was a commodity that they were asking, do you have in the marketplace? She had not heard about Jesus.
Are we together?
I mean, I was shocked. I wasn't expecting that. So she thought Jesus was actually a commodity for sale in an interior party. There are hundreds like that. And there are thousands. Why are you born again? If not to help people like that, to receive Jesus. Obviously, as you go about your life, career, marriage, business, academics. Are we together? Or else? There's no purpose to your salvation. You are only a waste. But that is not God's plan. It's not for anyone to be a waste. See, I'm not a waste. I'm not a waste. So Paul says, the height of your understanding be the light, that you will see why you are born again. You may know the hope of his calling. So we go to the dark places. So we say evangelism. We go to reach the lost. Are we together, church? Observe that we are fishing on the waters, right? Notice that we are not fishing from people's boats. What is in the boat is what they have got. What we are told to catch is in the what? In disease. Evangelism is not in the church. Evangelism is done by the church. We go there where the sinners are. So if you have not been involved in evangelism in the church, you are committing sin. It is not an option. It is an instruction. Don't make an option out of what? Instructions. We go after them. We pray for them. We teach them. We care for them. We fast for them. We have a genuine body, a burning desire for them to know and to grow in Jesus. Drug addicts. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing they do is that they just switch to drugs. No direction. You see women also. All sorts of vices, activities, bodies, yokes that Satan has put on people. See, yokes occupy you. When Jesus says, come and take my yoke, it occupies. So it says, you that are yoked and heavy laden. Because yoke is something that occupies. So when you see a person whose life is occupied outside the mission of Christ, you have seen and harvest. It doesn't matter how beautiful his life is. Sometimes he might even have something that you also will have. But he has something. But you have something that he needs. Ezekiel Church. Ezekiel Church. We have that duty to reach the world. So Jesus says, go into all the world. Go into all the world. And preach the gospel. We'll go out there. Get sinners saved. Go to that campus environment. Go into the hostels. Go from street to street. Don't say, I don't have time for this going about the game. Just be walking about. Imagine I said, you will tell Jesus that on the last day. You will tell him. Yeah, I don't have time for this walking about. I don't have time for walking about. Just be walking on that. So walking on that. So you will tell the one that saved you. You will tell the Lord of the OS that I didn't have time for walking about. You will tell him. You will tell him. You will stand in front of him and tell him that I didn't have time to be walking about. I don't have to make money. You tell him. You tell him. We go get messages. Is it clear, church? that have been wrongly taught and they abound, that is an harvest point. So look around you this morning, not in church, but look around you in your communities. You see how many people need to know and to live for Jesus. That is your responsibility. Is it clear, church? Around you. Around you. A distant nation might not be your responsibility. God will send people there. But your own environment is your responsibility. What you do not do in your environment, don't think you will do it outside your environment. That is your responsibility. And evangelism means to see someone and to push the gospel to them. Get a fellow saint. Get it filled with the Holy Ghost. Bring them into your services. Is it clear? Is it clear? You know, all kinds of men. All kinds of men. Even people that are sick. People that the society has given up on them. For Samuel 22. People that the society has given up on them. Reach out to them. Reach out to them. Don't say, oh, that our own evangelism. Someone's telling me that our own evangelism is strategic. You know, we do digital evangelism. We target. You are a backsliding church. Go into the world. Go. Break there. What if I have a car? Drive to the environment. Park the car somewhere. Come down of your car. And don't sit in your car and evangelize. The evangelism you do seated in your car is not evangelism. When the person believes the gospel, it's the car that attracted them. Not Jesus. Drop the car. Go into the streets. 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 That's the evangelism. Just drive your Rolls Royce or your Toyota Highlander 2024. Then you drive to a place where young people are playing football. And then you wind down. Say, hey guys, come. Would you like to know about Jesus? Jesus can make a life with Jesus. In the car they are saying. In the car. Are we together? Are we together? Remove those attractions. Then go. Go. Don't look for. Don't say, we are looking for upwardly mobile members. See, we are looking for quality souls. Which souls is not quality? You are looking for a kind of people in your church. You are not in the ministry. Jesus says, go into the highway. Go bring the sick, the lame, the maimed, the oppressed, the afflicted. He brings them in. He sets them free. And they make apostles out of them. Are we together, church? Stop looking for rich people. Stop looking for rich boys. Yeah, that, you know, our ministry, we like a ministry that is filled with ties. Dead guys. That is not ministry. Are we together? That's not ministry.
You are just creating a club.
You are creating a club. We go right there where the sinners are. Is he born again? No. He's worth it. Worthy of salvation, worthy of redemption, we preach to him. Does he know Jesus? No. In that state that is it, we bring him in. Pray for them. We teach them. Are we together? You know, you don't target a particular demography. You go out throughout the night and bring him. The gospel is not targeting the demography. It's going out. In our church, in our church, don't say, why is your church a student church? Say, what's a student church? Say, because it's young people that are in our church. Say, the fact that we have young people in our church is actually a proof that we are the one doing the work. You don't know. 60-75% of Nigeria, actually Africans today, are between the ages of 18. Are we together? Plus or minus 16? Or 18 to 30, 35. Plus or minus 2. 60-75%. If you are really reaching the world as you should, that same demography will be found in your church. Are we together? You will find a demography of people outside in your church. And if you observe very well, you observe that among those people, You have people who are dealing with drugs. Are we together? You will find that same demographic way in your church. You didn't hear what I'm saying? You didn't hear what I'm saying? You find it all. You will find girls who are doing hookup, prostitution, among that same demographic. By the time you get into the church, you will find people like that. People like that. So they are in the church to be taught, to be trained, to be cleansed from that life. Are we together? To now serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. So it means that we are not fishing from people's boats. Because sometimes you're like, you don't know that you're actually not doing the work. Because what you are doing is that, you know, sometimes we are looking for people that are already saved to disciple. That's really not the work. Are we together? That's really not what? That's really not the work. That's really not the work. So you are waiting for people to get born again, then you bring them into the church. That's really not the work. That's really not the work. It's part of the work, but that's really not the work. The work is to get people saved. So one of the questions we must let us ask ourselves as a church is, how many members of our church did we get saved? Now, a church like ours that walk through the cells, we say, how many cell members did we want actually get? How many people in our cells actually got saved and got filled? Are we together? Through us. That is one of the ways we measure whether we are doing what? Carrying out the Great Commission. So, we launch into the seas. Jesus did not say launch into people's boats. Is it clear? So, we don't look for our disciples from other people's church members. No. Go into the world. Go into the world. Are we together? Cell leaders, can you hear me? So, we go into the world. So, we look at that same boy that is held bound in addiction to drugs. Get this. You know that's where the work really is. That somebody was a drug addict, a confused person, somebody who is depressed, confused about life, does not know his right from his left. And you are able to bring him and teach him and train him. And after a while, he begins to take responsibility for other people. That is a well done work. That is what God has said every church to do. Every church. So you observe that it requires the supernatural, right? Do we need God's power? Are we going to need miraculous? Are we going to need... Imagine you get a prostitute saved. A prostitute saved. Or a cultist. You get a cultist saved. Then right from that point, you now begin to teach, train patiently. Patiently. You teach, you train. They will now do that en masse. So God is able to shine light out of what? Darkness. So what is in Genesis 1? When it says, light be in the midst of darkness. That is exactly what he's talking about. Word evangelism. That will go into the seas. Will go into the stormy waters. Not looking for people's church members. Muslims. Traditional religion worshippers. Are we together? We reach out to them. We get them saved. Is it clear, church? So look at this. That is who we are. We are God's shepherds. The training is out of priority. The walk, the call, is despite inconvenience. But we have the grace of God upon our lives. Are we together, church? So Muslims, that is the harvest. When you see Muslims, that's what? God's harvest. Go after them. Engage them in the gospel. Atheists, go after them. Engage what? In the gospel. Smokers, go after them. Go after them. Go after them. People that the community has delegated, go what? That is what the Spirit of God in you is empowering you to do. To go after. Not looking for quality souls. Quality souls. The quality souls. We soul is not quality. We're looking for people that are already well dressed. People that in their first service they come in suits. There's not really much work there. Are we together? The real work is in culturing men and women who have no prior culture of the kingdom of God. Is it clear, church? Say, I embrace my ministry. Let's be on our feet, everyone. Say, I embrace my ministry. Hallelujah. Say, I embrace my ministry. So at a time like this, where we are out for God's work, we take advantage of moments of meeting to receive strength by the Spirit of God to embark in a fresh or in a refreshed format or fashion what God has called us to do. Meetings. So we look forward that this weekend we're going to find camp meeting equipping. Hallelujah. Revitalizing. We're going to find camp meeting restraining. Are we together? Moments of strong heartfelt prayers. We're going to catch bodies. And for everyone that we are inviting into the meeting, within the city, outside the city, people are coming from Lagos, people are coming from Abuja, people are coming from Ibadan, people are coming from Osun. Are we together? People come from Ogbomosho. People are coming from cities around Ogun State. Are we together? Ibadan. People are coming around. Trust God. Are we together? That they will catch that body of God for His work. Is it clear, church? They will contact that body of ministry to live rightly, to serve God properly. And that the flesh and difficulties in their walk with God will be broken off. Are we together? Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost.
Revelation.
and love of God. Deep affection for the church and the work of God is stirred up in people's hearts. By the Holy Spirit.